Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I'd like to shout and tell the world you've been so good to me. Well, you brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock to say, oh Lord, oh Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Oh, I'd like to shout and tell the world you've been so good to me. Well, you brought me out of the miry clay, set my knee on a rock to say, oh Lord.
I want.
glory, 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 glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, help her, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Bless her, Jesus. Bless her. Woo, bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Jesus, Jesus. Woo, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Woo. Bless her, glory. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory.
And if I really meant it, then I want to magnify the name of the Lord. So I don't have a whole lot to say. I said enough the other night, but I just want to magnify his name. I want to thank him that he's been so good to me all of my days, the good ones and the bad ones. He's been so good. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's been there. He's been good all the time. And I'm just thankful for that. I praise him.
Feel worthy to sit on that piano. I know I've said before, you know, and it's a big responsibility, and a lot of times I don't feel worthy, but a lot of the times when I do, you know, I don't have a thing on my mind, and the Lord just moves in, and and ministers to me and lifts me up that way. And I appreciate that. I don't ever want to take that for granted. And I know I should be a lot farther along than I am I know that the Lord has every situation in it. You know, he's got everything under control, and he knows what's best, whether it be the answer we want for things or what is his will. But I was just thinking, I'm just so thankful to know my Savior. You know, I downloaded, it was a free download for the book of James to hear it audio on my phone. And so I've been listening to that on the way to work. And I had read a testimonial about the man that was reading it. And he became a Christian after he read the book of John. And so that made me really even listen to it more intently, you know, of everything that was said. And I thought, you know, that just made me even more excited to know what Jesus did. And, you know, everybody knows John 3:16, but just how wonderful of a scripture that is, and how much love Jesus had for each and every person and for each one of us. And, you know, we can always bring it on an individual basis, for God so loved us, you know. But I appreciate what the Lord has done and has kind of helped me through that to, you know, find that place again with my Savior. I just appreciate so much for his saving grace and for what he's done in my life and my siblings, you know, and how he's kept his hand on my mother and then my children and just so many things he's done time after time. He's never failed me, and I may have gotten a little farther out of reach from the Lord, but he is there reaching out for me, and I do appreciate that, and he's always there for us. And I just don't ever want to get too far away or, you know, get so, you know, how can I fix this or that, and just to keep remembering, you know, sometimes y'all need to shake me. Hey, remember? Remember what you said? Lord's on your side, and I appreciate y'all, each and every one of y'all. I love y'all.
The service, the Lord, and the service tonight too, and the song service and the testimonies that we've heard. And as they were talking, I thought about something to share. I thought about this a couple weeks ago. Brother Smith had talked on something about reaching up, you know, and feeling the Lord's strength coming back to you, and how you can get strength from the Lord. And I had been praying, it's been about a month or so ago. It was just so heavy in my mind and everything, and I just have been praying and praying, and I, you know, by faith I know that the Lord hears my prayers, you know, but sometimes I want him to let me know that he's hearing me, you know. And I've been praying, you know, just different times and everything, and then this one morning I woke up and it was like 5 a.m. I looked at my phone to see what time it was, and I just couldn't go back to sleep, and I just kept laying there praying. And I said, you know, Lord, I need something. I need to feel something from you. Just let me know, you know, however you're going to help me through this situation is totally fine. Whatever your will is totally fine. I just need to know that you're really listening to me. And my mind had gone back to a time when I had been praying, really praying, and the Lord gave me a scripture, and it was Isaiah 41:10. I've testified about that before, and now I can't remember how it starts out, but I'm thinking it'd come to my mind. Anyway, the Lord says, I'll help you, and I'll give you strength, and that sort of thing. So after I finished praying there, I have an app on my phone for it's a devotional. And it's a morning and an evening reading, and I don't always do it. You know, I may do it, read it, you know, twice a week or something. But sometimes I'll read it more often, but, you know, it's just kind of hit and miss. So this morning, thank you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am my God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Because that's my scripture that I've held on to. You know, I feel like it's mine. Sister Inez talked to you a while back about the Lord had gave her something for her, you know, and that's my scripture. So I pulled my phone over and I thought, I'm going to look at my devotional this morning. So I'm going to share some of this with y'all. It's kind of lengthy, so I'm going to cut part of it out. But at the very top it says, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Isaiah 41:14. This morning, let us hear the Lord Jesus speak to each one of us. I will help thee. It is but a small thing for me, thy God, to help thee. Consider what I've done already. What? Not help thee? Why, I bought thee with my blood. What? Not help thee? I have died for thee. And if I have done the greater, will I not do the less? Help thee? It is the least thing I will ever do for thee. I have done more and will do more. Before the world began, I chose thee. I made the covenant for thee. I laid aside my glory and became a man for thee. I gave up my life for thee. And if I did all this, I will surely help thee now. In helping thee, I'm giving thee what I have bought for thee already. If thou hast need of 1,000 times as much help, I would give it thee. Thou requirest little with what I am ready to give. 'Tis much for thee to need, but is nothing for me to bestow. Help thee, fear not. And I'll skip some of that and go on down. It says, bring hither thine empty pitcher. Surely this well will fill it. Haste, gather up all thy wants and bring them here. Thine emptiness, thy woes, thy needs. Behold, this river of God is full for thy supply. What canst thou desire beside? Go forth in this thy might. The eternal God is thine helper. And then it says, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and I will still give thee aid. And so I just, like, burst out into tears, you know. And I was like, all right, then, because I knew that the Lord was telling me, you're my child, I hear you, and just like I gave you strength and helped you before, I'm going to do it again, you know. And that's okay. I don't have to know, you know, the end result of what the Lord is going to do for me. I just need to know that he hears me and that he's with me along the way, and I'll be just fine with whatever the outcome, because I'll know that he's working things out. So I just wanted to share that. It was such an encouragement to me to just have that answer that morning. And so I love the Lord. I appreciate him so much, and just wanted all of my days to serve him as well.
Nuisance on myself, but but I just couldn't help it. You know, Sister Lynette was got up and talked about magnifying the Lord, and then Sister Pryor got up and said those things that describe him, doesn't it? That describe our Lord and Savior. And then we started out with Jesus. There's something about that name in there. You know, I thought when I was a young child, you know, of course that song's pretty old, but I remember singing about Jesus. And it wasn't so much that name Jesus, but it was. But there's a spirit that come with that. People. Were broken. Their hearts were tender. And there was calling on to somebody, and that name Jesus, that's the name that God the Father chose. And when you first come to God, you know, that's all you know is Jesus. My Lord, Jesus. There's something about that name. And then, you know, we start growing a little bit. We start growing a little bit, and we start learning the name of the Lord, isn't it? The name of the Lord. What does that mean, the name of the Lord? It starts meaning more to us, doesn't it? Oh, it starts meaning more. My God. And we start to grow a little bit, start seeing a little more, eyes get open. You know, that joke that was it, that there's a little sign on the road. It says, free Baptist kittens. You know, and Baptist kittens, you know, and people drive by, oh, that's cute, Baptist kittens, you know. Then later on, about a couple of weeks later, it said, free Pentecostal chickens, kittens. It's purring like a chicken, wasn't it? And so the person seeing that, I got to see what this is all about, you know. They stopped and said, now, about 2 weeks ago, they said free Baptist kittens. Said, now you got free Pentecostal kittens. Said, what's the difference? And the person looked up and said, well, they got their eyes open, you know. And that's what happens to us, doesn't it? We get our eyes open a little bit, doesn't it? And we start magnifying the name of the Lord, don't we? My God, I can't help it. I got to magnify His name again. Thank you, Lord. Man, this piano corner has given me a drink of water now. I like that. I was tired when I come in here tonight. I wasn't feeling, but you know, I could be a Jesus name preacher right now, you know. Because there's something about that name. We know it's more to it than, and we come to understand Him when we seek Him. We seek to know Him in the power of His resurrection, don't we? We want to be part of that first resurrection. To take on the name of the Lord, His nature. To think like Him. To walk like Him. Circumspectively. To walk in His steps. He said we could do it. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. Isn't it great when all these things start coming to you, and all these things we've heard, and Sister Pryor was saying those things, and you could tell her heart was, this is what lifts me up. This is what lifts me up, the name of Jesus. I want to magnify Him. I'm going to start talking about Brother Harden now in a minute, I guess. Remember, boy, he'd always come and just bless his church, wouldn't he? You know, talk about the name of Jesus, you know. He imparted something to us, didn't he? My God. Thank you, God, for the people of God, for the ministry of God that has blessed us and given us good things to eat. I praise His name. I praise His name. And, you know, no matter how much we think we get too big for our britches, it all comes back down to the name of Jesus, doesn't it? He told one church, said, you have left your first love. Repent, do the first works. In other words, look to the name of Jesus. He said one time, He said, to which of the angels said, I probably won't quote it right, but sit on my right hand. To which of the angels? But then later on it said he was made a little lower than the angels, didn't he? He took on him to want so he could become that faithful high priest. Praise His name. Praise His name. Then later on in Revelations, Brother Smith, at Revelations, that was 69 A.D., I guess, or 69 B.C., that was written. Whenever it was written, there was a message in there, wasn't it? And part of that message was, John was in the Spirit. And there was a message, and it said, He was sad because no one could open the seals of that message. He looked back in time, as far as he considered, looked up ahead, and there was no man that could release the seals, open the seals. But he said, wait, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, He is worthy.
Yes.
God has made Him worthy. Yes. God has appointed Him worthy. Yes, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He can open the seals. That's why we say, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh God, and aren't we joint heirs with Christ tonight? My Lord, the songs that were sung, the testimonies that have been testified so far, it makes you feel a part of Him, doesn't it? Dear God, I think I just go on and on. Go on. That's what the Lord says, doesn't He? Go on. You feel a little tired? Well, go on. Feel a little discouraged a little bit? Go on. Because there's something there. Let's go on. Let's go on. Praise His name.
For me to get up, it just scares me to death. I'm not a speaker, and but I know I got to overcome that. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I was lost in darkness, and He found me, and He heard my cry, and He brought me in, and He gave me this opportunity. And now it's up to me what I do with it. And if I want to throw it away, I can throw it away. But I didn't come back for that. I am here to do a work for the Lord, and I'm determined. I've been praying to the Lord lately, and I told Him, I said, Lord, if You'll give me more, I'll take it and I'll use it to the best of my ability. If You'll just help me. And Brother Thompson, I've been reading exactly where you were talking about today, and that is just so interesting to me. And that's another thing I've been praying, Lord, give me a hunger for Your word. It's more than I can handle, just... And every time I turn around, I catch myself wanting to read the Bible more. So I'm thanking God for that because I know He's hearing my cry.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I tell you, everyday life will get you down. And I don't know. I'm sure we all struggle, but sometimes it gets a little rough for me. And I was telling Sister Smith, you know, I wish I had someone with me that could help me along, you know, when I have questions. And I know, Brother Smith, you're here, and I know different one of the ladies and the brothers are here, but, you know, sometimes you think, you know, well, I don't know as much as others, and if I ask them, they're going to think I'm stupid, or, you know, I don't know. I just get too scared to ask, I guess, but I just desire your prayers because I do want to go on with the Lord, and it's a great desire of mine to know more and to do all I can. And I've made up my mind that I'm going to come in here and I'm not going to take it for granted. I don't want to take it for granted. And I'm stepping out tonight because I want to make a difference, a change tonight from here forward. And just pray for me, and I'm thankful to be here.
I'm going to I had never sang this song, but I think everybody knows it. But I thought after Brother Thompson talked, I ought to try it anyhow. Might learn one here. I don't know. Tell me his name again. They tell me of love's sweet story. They tell me of a wonderful name. It thrills my soul with its glory, and it burns my heart like a flame. They say he's the one that sold love me, that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. Glory, my heart has stirred, sweetest I've ever heard. Banishes fear and it brings hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. They say he was born in a manger. There was no room in the inn. In his own world was a stranger. And in spite of its sin, they say that his path led to Calvary. And then one day he died there in shame, gave his great life as a ransom. Oh, tell me his name again. Me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above and died on the cross of shame. That story my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear and brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They call him the sweet rose of Sharon. They call him the lily so fair. They call him the great rock of ages. Call him the bright morning star. He's prophet, priest, and redeemer. The king of all kings he now reigns. He's coming in power and glory. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above and died on the cross of shame. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear and brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. I want you to listen to this first verse. I was just, when I was
looking at it, I don't know if I ever just really listened to it like this. They tell me of love's sweet old story. They tell me of a wonderful name. It thrills my soul with its glory. It burns in my heart like a flame. They say he's the one that so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Oh, God, I love you tonight, Lord. Cross of shame, the story my heart has heard. Well, it's the sweetest that I ever heard. It banishes fear and brings hope and joy. Tell me of love's sweet old story. They tell me of a wonderful name. It thrilled all my soul with its glory, and it burned in my heart like a flame. They tell me of one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. Hallelujah. That sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above and I ever heard. It banishes fear, brings hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Weiniger was telling me about, you know, that was there's a story behind that song. Brother Watson always told it when he would sing it, that a missionary went to Africa and was over there preaching, and there was a little lady that was from a little village that heard about this preacher that was in the village nearby, and so she wanted to go hear him. Somebody told her about it, and she went. She walked and heard this preacher preached, and that night she got saved. She gave her heart to the Lord. But
After she walked back home, walked back to her village, and she got back home the next day, she woke up and she's thinking about how good she felt and how she felt her sins lifted off of her, but she couldn't remember the name of who it was that saved her. And so she said, I go back and find out from that preacher what the man's name was that died on the cross to save me. So she went back and said, tell me his name again. And that inspired that song to be written. So anyway, can you imagine not knowing enough about Jesus to get saved and not know who saved you? Oh, God, we're blessed, saints. We're blessed people. We grew up knowing that name ever since we learned how to talk. Heard that name. Some people's yet have never heard it. Some people it'll be down in 1,000 years before they ever hear the name of Jesus. My Lord, and here we are. Enjoying the good presence of him and the meaning of his name. That song said he couldn't. He loved us so much that he couldn't stay in heaven. He had to come. Take on the, Brother Paul, I could preach this too myself. I'm feeling it. Hallelujah. Yeah, he had to come down here and let us know how good his Father was and is. Hallelujah. My, my, my.
What is it?
Jesus.
My hearing's gone. What'd you say?
Jesus.
Well, I might just say a couple words before we go home. I was telling somebody this just about a week ago that that scripture, that song made me think of it, Sister Brian. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Of course, that's what the Alpha and Omega means, beginning and the end. And he is the beginning of the work of God. He was the first born of every creature. He was the beginning of the creation of God, the Bible says, Revelations 1. And he said, and, you know, I was thinking, those are key scriptures to the Godhead to help understand that that Jesus hasn't always existed. He had a beginning. God has no beginning and no end, the Father, but he gave him a name above every name. He put in him the preeminence of everything. That all things under his authority, that he would have preeminence in all things. And so he's the beginning of God's creation, God's beginning. Then he created everything else, but then he's the end too. This thing's, God's work is going to have an end or finish to it, and Jesus is going to finish that. Don't you know he has to feel some measure of accomplishment, some gratitude himself that he did leave heaven. He did, you know, create all of heaven, all the heavenly host, all the angels. He created all of the galaxies, all of creation. And then he was just reduced to a seed. And he knew why he was going. He chose that. God put that in him. He had a desire to see his Father's purpose. But don't you know, in God letting him do the creating, that it gave him a feeling for it. And then he watched this creation. He was the God of the Old Testament. Almost everywhere you read about God in the Old Testament, except a few times, that was Jesus that spoke with Abraham, spoke face to face with Moses, met with him there on the mount several times. Of course, God did one time hide Moses in the cleft of the rock and walk by and let him see his hinder parts. I'm glad that scripture in there, because we know that God has a, he's got a, there's an image to him. He's got he is a being, and he's got an image of being. And of course, I know God could, he could be anything, anywhere, anytime, but he exists. We've got proof of that in the scriptures. And but Jesus, no doubt, had a feeling for all of that, and he was willing to take on a big opportunity, a big challenge, to just be reduced to a seed and learn, live like a man, take on the seed of Abraham, the mortality. I think if we were going to talk about the nature of Christ here on earth, you'd just have to say he became mortal. He was subject to death. He took on mortality. But he finished the work that God caused him to do here on the earth. And I do believe that it's finished. It's God's mind, and in Jesus' mind, he knows it's going to be accomplished because of what Christ did here on the earth. And when he prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John, where it's recorded that Jesus prayed, God, how did he say that? restore my glory or that I had with you when I was with you before the world was, that, don't you know, I mean, he had to learn to live by faith. He couldn't remember here on the earth all that he'd done in heaven or all that he was as a celestial being. But don't you know, God restored that to him in the resurrection, that he got restored to all of that. And when he made it back to heaven, he had to feel such a great accomplishment that he made it through. He finished. He needed the help from God that you and I need from him. And he received the help. That's how we can know that we can make it. That God, I was reading you those scriptures last week where he promised the church in Philadelphia that had kept the word of his promise. He said, I'm going to keep you in the day of temptation. My Lord. That he would promise that I'm going to keep you. You can believe that. You can rest in that. If you'll just hold your faith and hold on, I'll keep you. Hallelujah. Well, I think that can extend. I think if you hold on to God, he'll keep you. He's not incapable. His arm's not short. He's able to reach down and touch you in your lowest. I don't care what your lowest condition is. I'm glad for this vision that I have, that God's given me, and it's getting this ministry and this body has increased my vision as time has went on. I'm well aware that God, and I don't want to get strung out here, you know, because if I keep talking, I'm liable to, but. But you know, when they built the temple, before even they built the temple in Jerusalem, in the promised land, he had chose that place to put his name. There was just only one group of people that really knew his name, and that his name would finally fill up the whole earth. Finally, if you make heaven, you're going to get a new name. You're going to get, if you make the bride, you're going to get a little white stone that is going to be written a name that no man can know except him that receives it. Well, we know that the name represents, it's bigger than just authority. It's bigger than just something that's, I don't know if you can mention anything that's big enough that would really define what the name of Jesus stands for. What God's name, Jehovah, is what it really means. It you could just keep working on all of the intricacies and details of the meaning of God's name. Finally, his name, his character, is going to get written in our foreheads. Finally, this God that is the Father of Jesus Christ, he's finally, and he's become your Father and my Father, and he's finally going to write everything that's in his name. It's going to be in your mind and in my mind and in my heart and down in my soul. I'm going to understand. Man, that song, that old song they sang, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, I've got a lot of things I'm like Jesus. There's not anything that I was in another life that I'm going to have my memory restored to, but there's a lot of information that I'm going to know about after I get out of here and get over into that celestial being. I'm looking forward to. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know it's going to be grand. I mean, if man can take a little old bitty phone and put all this stuff in that little bitty phone, that's unbelievable what they got on that thing. I mean, you want to see a picture of this thing that I'm looking at? I mean, I go to the grocery store and take pictures of things and text them to my wife and say, is this the thing you're talking about that you want me to get? Lord, I'd had to went and had a quarter to go find that adult outside in some payphone. But now I can just text her a picture, and she just almost immediately say, yes, I took a picture. She told me to buy something not long ago. There was three of them, different kinds, Brother Daniels. I just laid all three of them out, took a picture. I said, which one? She said, the one in the middle. I said, hallelujah. Well, if man can do something like that, and you know, I mean, it's just right now you can, you know, you can Google anything and get it, find out about anything just about. Well, Google God. We're going somewhere where you can Google God right now too. You can get some answers from him, but there's more answers available that technology doesn't know anything about. I want to make the bride. Sister Donna, I want to just be able to appear and disappear. Yeah, that angel he was of thy brethren, the prophets, it says in the 21st chapter of Revelation, and the 19th chapter, I think, and he said, I'm of thy brethren, the prophets, and I'm of them that have the testimony of this book, and I've kept the words of this book, of this testimony. And he just appeared to John. My Lord, Brother Daniels. Just think about it. You make the bride, for 1,000 years, you're going to be working, helping Jesus work on this big project. Sister, yeah, John, Sister Smith, you know, and I were talking here not long ago, and we got in a moment of daydreaming. Y'all ever do that? You know, just talk about, you know, what you're going to do when there ain't any pressure, no trials, no nothing on you, and when you just, you know, whenever they call it retiring. I used to always want to be old because my grandpa just sat in a rocking chair on the front porch, and that looked so good to me. I thought, that's wonderful. It ain't got nothing to do with just sitting in a rocking chair. Just smell up the good atmosphere, you know. And anyway, we kind of got in a moment like that, but then Sunday night, you brethren began to pull heaven down here for us. She slipped over there to me, and she said, this right here is what I really want to put my effort into. It's right here. I said, yeah, that's me too. There's nothing that'll make you happier than the good Spirit of God and the good Word of God and the people of God. I'm telling you, I love every one of you. Yeah. Bad, every bad thing about you, I love it. Because you're my brothers and you're my sisters. And that means you've got to love the bad things about me. If you love me as much as I do you, because I love you bad, good, and all. I do. I'm really serious about that. Because I'm part of you. I've got the same vision you've got, the same Word of God and Spirit of God that's working in your life, working in mine. I understand you. The good and the bad. Because I have the same thing going on inside of me, good and bad. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? But then he said, I thank God. Hallelujah. It's through Jesus Christ that this salvation has come to my life. He was in a dilemma before, trying to figure out how to keep the law and that wrestling and that warfare going on. But then he found something that was bigger than the law. He found something that was bigger than the flesh that couldn't keep the law. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, I'm just thinking about that in that song. I thought, my God, he is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He finished the work of God there on. He finished it when he died on the cross. He finished his part, and then God finished his when he resurrected him from the dead and restored the glory that he had with the Father before. And then he wasn't finished yet until he sent it back on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And the prophecy of Scripture is still being fulfilled today. And it's still working in us. The work, it's settled. There's a scripture in, and I'm not going to preach, I promise you, but here in Revelations, the 14th chapter. Let me read that to you. I'm going to show you a scripture where God looked at things. It's not just here. Because while you're turning there, let me read this to you in Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, if you've got hope to be in the bride, then, and you've got faith, then what you're hoping for is to make it. And the evidence of what's not seen working in your life right now, the power of God and the power of an overcoming life, but faith hopes for that. And it says that, and then verse 2 said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, there, in other words, nothing. There wasn't anything back there in the beginning. But the things that you now see, they were made, they were created by the Spirit of God. It wasn't created out of anything, but the Spirit of God spoke them into existence. And that ought to help you to understand that God, that God has the power to create. We're His workmanship, and we are a new creation, and He's working something in us. Jesus showed how it works. And here in Revelation 14, I think it's in the 11th chapter, I think I'm wanting. Yes, it is. In the 11th chapter, the 11th chapter starts off with the church or the temple, you know, being desolate, and shows the church completely falling away. But as you read through the 11th chapter, you finally get to where the two witnesses are standing up on their feet, and they ascend up to heaven in a cloud. In the same hour, there's a earthquake, and then one, that's the first woe, and that woe is past, and the third woe's come, or the second woe, I mean, that's the second woe, and then the third woe comes quickly. First woe was Mohammedism that affected Catholicism so much that allowed the Reformation to begin. The second woe is when the image of the beast, the dragon power of the United States is going to go down. It'll be judged. And then the third woe will come quickly, which will be the Battle of Armageddon. But between the second and the third woe, in the 15th verse, it said, the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He'll reign forever and ever. Now, see right there where you're reading that, in the order it's read in, right then, all the kingdoms of this world aren't really the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. There's still yet 1,000 years for that to be accomplished. But when God judges the last head of the dragon and the finality of the church being restored and the bride is made up, God knows, just like Jesus knew when He's on the cross, He said, it's finished, hallelujah. He knew that when this takes place, all the kingdoms of the world, the bride's been made up. They'll finish the work. They will bring everything into subjection to Christ. Hallelujah. And so he just went ahead and put it down as prophecy. It's as good as done. I want to be there. I want to be in on that. You women can be in on that. You can make the bride. God didn't make this for just men only. This is whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. You can just move on into your place with God. And then in the 15th, I'll give you one more scripture in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul gives us the only exception to all things being put under Christ. In the 22nd verse, it says, "For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order." See, Christ the first fruits. He was the first one to overcome the nature of man, of flesh, the fleshly nature, the Adamic nature. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. There was the coming of the Lord back there, and the Lord's coming again down here. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Brother William Souders, they said he used to say, "Lucky old cow," is standing there when the last enemy's been defeated, when death no longer is working on earth. He said, "Lucky old cow, she'll just go right on living." I was telling somebody about here not too long, I was over at Sister Elsie's house, and I was talking about, I said that Brother Butero was over there, and his Elsie's sister heard it, and she said, "I got to ask my pastor about that." She said, "Brother Butero, have you ever heard this?" And he said, "Well, it has to be right if there ain't no more death." And I was telling about how Brother Souders used to say that. Verse 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest he, God the Father, is accepted." Here's another Godhead scripture. There's an exception to everything being put under Jesus' feet, and that is he that's accepted. He, God, the Father, is accepted, which did put all things under him, Jesus. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son of also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Not that he's not subject to his Father right now, but he wants to take the work God had him start in the beginning. And when he's completely finished with it, he wants to present it to the Father and say, "Here's what you asked me to do." Hallelujah. Ah, Lord. I'd like to be that successful in just what he asked me to do, whatever it is. Just the life and whatever he's called me to do. I'd like to say, "Lord, I want that glory that you had with the Father in the beginning. Give me that glory. Let me share." I know, that's what the Bible said about Jesus. He didn't think it robbery to be considered to be equal with God. I don't feel bad about asking God for that, because I know he wants me to have it. My Lord. Whew. Brother Horton, he used to, when he heard this message, he said, I want to make it. He said, "Because I want to," he had a lot of things in his mind. He wanted to go to Mars and Jupiter and around different places. Well, I don't know about all that, but I want to know about all that. I kind of picture in my mind sometimes, you know, God just says, just lay back and look up at the clouds. So said, I'm going to put a big screen up there and show you how it was, the garden was in the beginning. I'm going to give you, I'm going to replay it for you. You want to know how it was? There's a lot of things I'm going to say. God, let's pop some popcorn and watch. Let's watch the, yeah, let's watch the creation over again. Could you play that for us? Put that in the box, wherever hit that, put, hit the play button on that. Whew. Hey, I don't think we're talking too far out in out of reach, because I think God wants us to know all those things. I think He can talk where a video will play right in front of you. You'll see it while He's talking. You can get, if He can give you a vision, my Lord, God can give you a vision and let you see. He sent angels and let John see this whole vision. My Lord, John knew. He understood what it was. He understood those seals of the book that was shut up. He knew there was a lot ahead that God was going to do, and he wanted to know about it. And he wept when he saw it couldn't be opened up. When he said, "Stop crying, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Weep not, for he's going to open the seals." My Lord. And look what's been, these seals have been opened up to us. You and I, the things that John saw 2,000 years ago, and still, they're playing somewhere. I got something in the mail just the other day about the apocalypse. They're fixing to have a big play or movie or something about the apocalypse. I thought, I wish y'all would let me tell y'all about this. Y'all going to mess it up so bad, people's minds are going to get so goofed up, I don't tell them how long it'll take us to unravel all that in their heads. That guy on the airplane coming back from the Dominican, he was reading that, you know, what was the name of them books, you know, Left Behind series. He found out I was a preacher, he pulled that book out, said, "Look, I'm reading this, what do you think about it?" I said, "Throw it in the trash." He said, "What?" I said, "Throw it in the trash. Don't read another word. It's junk." I said, "It'll mess your mind up." He said, "Oh, God, you got to be kidding me." I guarantee you one thing. He left there wondering before I got done with him. Before we got to Atlanta, he was wondering, what in the world am I supposed to do now? All right, let me behave. I think before we go home, we ought to pray for Sister Elsie. She stopped breathing a few times Monday. And they thought she was going to pass away and called us. And then, but yesterday, actually that night, she kind of woke up and responded some. And then yesterday, she's had a good day and drank. I think Sister Gill said she drank about 4 or 5 little bottles of Ensure and 3 different bottles of Pepsi all day long. She's real thirsty. Of course, she's dehydrating, I'm sure. But today she slept again almost all day. She's almost, you know, and we know that she's down in the ends of this. You know, I actually know, I don't have a doubt in me that God could just touch her and she could just raise up again and just be normal. God could, I know she only has, they've operated on her, took half of her, or almost all of her intestines out. She's got 2 foot of little intestine. I know God's able to just fix all that. She could just be running around this church Sunday morning. I know that God can do that. I've seen God raise her up off the deathbed more than once already. And I know He's able. Brother Jerry, I've seen Him lift you up when you was dying 2 different times. I knew you was going to die if God didn't touch you. How long has that been? Over 20 years ago. They said when he was 40, he's in his 60s. Now I won't tell you how many passed it, but he's passed it. But when he was 40, the doctor said this man won't live another 8, 7, 8 years. That's what he told us. They did a 5-way bypass. Was it 5 or 4-way? 5-way bypass the first time. Then he had another one. They said, "We can't do any more." He just, like the Ever-Ready Bunny, just keeps on going. God's touched that man. That's you got to get excited about God once in a while. But I know God's able to touch her, but if this is her time and God's going to take her, I'm willing to accept that, but, you know, I am asking God to have His will, have His way, and help the family in all of this, and help her. But I'm still slipping it in there. God, heal her. If it fit in your plan, heal her. What would it do for us if she come in here running and shouting Sunday morning? I guarantee you I'd jump in behind her. She took off running, sister Inez, I'd beat you behind her, I guarantee you. I don't care if you can run 5 miles, but I can't. You'd have to be cutting the mustard to beat me to her, I guarantee you. I'd be feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. You know, and if God did that, do y'all know it wouldn't be just a year or two, we'd be used to her being fine, being one of us running around here, being normal. We'd adapt to that. You'll adapt to the bride. You'll adapt to the resurrected saints when they resurrect, too. It won't take you very long. At first, we'll go crazy for a little while. Yeah, we'll go nuts for a little while. We'll shout and run and jump. And we can't tell nobody but one another. And we'll just jump in one another's lap and holler and hug and do every kind of thing you can imagine. I will. I mean, what are you going to do when you got a 1,500-year-old man here? He's done resurrected. William Siders comes in. Ray Lineger, some of those guys, comes in here, walking in here. I'm going to go crazy for a little while, but it won't be too long. I'll accept it. It'll just be all right. It'll be normal. Be part of what's going on in the body of Christ. It'll be another one of those doctrines you can't tell nobody. Yeah, we got things we can't tell nobody. You can't tell it. You can't tell. You won't be able to tell that either unless you're ready to go to the little funny farm somewhere. This guy right here. I mean, can you imagine? Ain't no wonder it's not in the Bible. Said, this is Abraham. John said, boys, Abraham sitting next to me right here in the house of God. Let's get out of here. This guy crazy. Oh God, you're going to have the Spirit of God touch you and help you with this. It's helped me so far. I've got confidence it'll help me the rest of the way. Anyway, but let's pray for Sister Elsie and that family. They are suffering through all of this, and I know they're wore out and they're ready to give her up if that's what God does. See, they're at that point. And I'm ready to let her go too. And it looks like that's what God's going to do. But as long as there's a ray of hope, I'm still saying, Lord, if you want to heal her, it's all right with me. Uh-huh. They may do it. I mean, this beats snake handling for sure. Yeah. Well, they're already doing this kind of stuff, you know, on TV. They've already thought all this. It's sci-fi. But I'm not talking about science fiction. I'm talking about the real, you know, deal. Yeah. Amen. All right. Let's all stand and ask God to touch her. I know there's others. You don't just raise your hands. I know you've got needs and family members. All. Hallelujah. Oh God, precious Savior. Touch our sister, Lord God, if it's in your will to heal her. God, we have faith and confidence you can do that. But if not, Lord, if it's your time to take her, we're willing for that. That family, God, touch them, help them, comfort them in all of this. God, use this some way for your glory. God, touch his family. Some way, oh God, reach down and touch their hearts and their lives. And let this be a witness of your salvation, oh God, your plan, oh God, for our lives. Work in our hearts in all of this, Lord. God, meet all of our needs here tonight, each one, those that aren't here, and those that couldn't be here. Brother Brandon, God, go with him in this move. Help him and bless him, Lord. Touch his life. Continue to touch him, help him, lead him and guide him, Jesus. Oh, God, each one here. God, help us and touch our lives, meet our needs, direct our steps, oh, God. Help us, oh, God, in our endeavors, our needs. Bless our youth this weekend in Godfrey. Bless the Godfrey Youth Meeting, oh, God, we pray. Give them something special. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly. God bless your hearts.